We Like Dota, episode 21, starts now.
Everybody, welcome back to We Like Dota. This is We Like Dota, everyone's favorite casual Dota 2 podcast. I'm Brian Sabone Yinger, and joining me this evening is the internet's own Ben Yadneb Day. How's it going, Ben?
Hey, Brian. How's it going today?
Do you think that We Like Dota is the internet's favorite casual Dota 2 podcast?
Are we the only casual Dota podcast?
I think we are.
Then we're probably the favorite.
But we like to think of ourselves better than what we actually are, because we go into, like, try-hard mode.
Do we?
I do.
You do, yeah.
Yeah, I get, like, in matches, in... Well, you can attest that my out-of-match attitude is like, hey, guys, we're here for fun, we're gonna have a good time, and, you know, we're all just gonna be great. But in match, I'm like, why aren't you putting up wards? And... play better, and you know, that kind of stuff.
You kind of rage, and I love it when you rage.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
I feel like I do a decent job of apologizing though when I do.
you go through really all the steps. You get really angry. It's a classic abuse cycle with you. You get really angry at us, and then you're like, I'm so sorry. Let's play again. I promise I won't get angry, and then it's just not good.
I kind of do that with my wife a lot.
I hope not.
Like, I get mad and I say something that I regret or shouldn't have said, and then I go, I'm really sorry I said that. Right. I should not have said that.
So you need to work through your personal issues, but let's move on to Dota.
All right, let's talk about Dota, Ben. So we're going to start the episode like we normally do with what'd you play? So Ben, what'd you play this week?
I played a lot of Dota.
Okay.
Played a little bit of Final Fantasy 14, trying to level up my character there.
Yes, on the PS4, correct?
On the PS4. Yeah, and mostly on the computer, but okay. I have it on the PS4.
Yeah.
So did a little bit of that, and then in addition to that, I also watched a lot of E3, so did a lot of watching of the E3 event.
Yeah, I tried to watch some of that as well, and we'll get to it later, but I was remarkably busy this week.
Yeah.
I was out of town for 3/4 of the week.
That is insane. Well, you played the game of Nature.
I did, yeah.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about that.
Well, okay, so I went backpacking and camping. I went Wednesday night and stayed in a hotel with a couple of other guys because there were apparently tornado warnings for the area that we were going to be backpacking
in. Which is not what you want when you go camping.
No.
No.
But we woke up early Thursday morning and really got out there and we backpacked. Between Thursday and Friday, I hiked probably about 17 miles and camped for the first time ever. I describe myself as an indoor person. The way that I say it is there are indoor cats and outdoor cats, and I'm an indoor cat.
You are definitely indoor cat.
Definitely indoor cat. But yeah, I was miserable most of the time. I walked 7 miles in a trail that was flooded. I walked through inches of just water, and it was terrible, Ben.
Tell me about your hat, because you got a new hat, and you wore that on your camping trip.
I would like to pre-qualify this by saying that I have washed said hat since I have been home. But the day that we hiked back after we camped, all the trails had flooded the night before. And there was probably about, I think it was probably about 95% humidity. Hiking about 7 miles, and I was sweating so bad that the rim of my hat was dripping sweat.
That's really gross.
It's really gross, yeah. But you know what, Ben? I feel very accomplished. I feel like I challenged myself and rose to the occasion, had a great time. Well, I had a miserable time, but it was great in that, you know, I overcame those things. Field studies said I would be fine as long as I ward my camp and bring dust for bears. Not sure if that works or not, but I'm told
not
that
in real
it
life.
Does.
No, that's not. Dang that's it. Not actually a solution to any problem.
Now, I did have a hiking stick, and I kept pointing at trees, shouting "Warriors of the Wood," And I expected Treants to just kind of pop out of the trees, but that never happened.
So it sounds like you're hallucinating during your camping trip. So that's great.
Yeah, I probably did hallucinate a little bit.
Okay.
So it was interesting.
So did you win the game of nature?
I'm alive.
I think you won.
Yes. So what Dota 2 Heroes did you play this week, Ben?
I've been doing my daily challenge. So I had a little bit of Elder Titan that I played.
Okay.
Quite a few games with Morphling that I had to play. Had to try to get a win on Morphling.
Yeah.
And then outside of that, really enjoying Viper right now. Really super easy to play. So when I'm lazy, I love to play Viper.
I've played a couple matches with you as Viper, and you do really well with him.
Oh, so fun.
Really only has two buttons to press.
Right. Oh, yeah. You don't have to really do anything other than just click on the hero you want to kill.
And both of those abilities basically do the same thing. One's just an upgraded version of the other.
Right. Yep, yeah. Exactly. And one's a toggle, which is kind of nice. You can just leave it on.
Right. So, yeah, I did not get any Dota 2 action in this week, but I did play some of South Park, The Stick of Truth. Oh, yeah.
Are you enjoying South Park?
I am really enjoying it quite a bit. It is hysterical.
Great.
And I also feel like the gameplay is really good as well.
Well, done by RPG veterans Obsidian, I believe.
Yeah, it's not just really funny and really good story, but it's actually, the gameplay is really solid.
That's great.
It plays like an old school turn-based RPG.
Yeah.
It reminds me of, did you ever play Super Mario RPG?
I have, yeah.
Yeah, that thing's good.
It is. Yeah. Speaking of Nintendo, man, I watched about, more games than I actually played. I watched almost all of E3's, Nintendo's E3 event.
Yeah.
And they did something really different. So I really enjoyed E3 this year. Microsoft and Sony both did their hour, 2 hour conference, announced their Halos and their Uncharted's and the same old thing.
I got to hand it to Microsoft, though. They're basically taking all the Halo games, putting them on one disc, and people are going batshit over
this
thing.
Oh, it's genius. And people are just... Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's going to work for them. I think that's fantastic. Nintendo took a different route. They actually had the Robot Chicken creators come in.
Well, I like that Nintendo, they just do a video.
They do whatever the heck they want. So they did a video. They showed some highlights of some games that are coming out. They had Reggie from Nintendo America blow up some fans and the Robot Chicken animation.
He blew them up.
Oh, yeah, because they were asking about like Earthbound 3 and who knows what else they asked about. I don't remember.
Would really love a new
Earthbound. Well, so would everybody, but Reggie will kill you if you ask him, so don't ask him.
Yeah.
So he did a little
Keep
bit
that
of
under wraps.
Yeah, exactly. So they did a little bit of that, and then they did like 2 days of just hands-on streaming of their new games, and they made some additional announcements and showed a lot of gameplay footage, and it was great because I just felt like Microsoft and Sony just showed a lot of trailers of games that are coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Nintendo was showing games that were still in development, but they're showing this is how it plays, these are our ideas, here are the people making the games.
That's
really cool. Yeah. So overall, I thought they had a good showing because they're really struggling, so it was nice to see them do well for once. So
yeah, not to talk about E3 too much, but the one thing that I walked away from E3, well, there's two things. One, No Man's Sky. I want to play that
thing. Now that game looks really
freaking
neat.
Now.
Yeah.
At first I thought it was a PS4 exclusive, which it is not. Thank God it's coming out on PC. But I was prepared to be like, do I need to buy a PS4 to play this game?
Right.
Oh my God.
I watched some interviews, and for those of you guys who don't know, it's a almost undefinable game. I watched some interviews with the creator of the game, and his mind was blown just talking about the game. But essentially, it's a game where you just are placed randomly in this huge universe, and you're just left to explore.
Yeah.
So it's like pseudo multiplayer. You can go straight from a planet underwater to fighting spaceships seamlessly, without any loading screens.
That's what
like
blew
that.
Me away. Is
oh, it's so neat.
The trailer has a dude walking around on this like kind of primordial space planet. There's dinosaurs walking around, and then he hops in his spaceship, goes up into the space, up into space, and asteroids and stuff.
Yeah, starts
no loading screens, nothing. Starts cruising around. All of a sudden, all these ships warping, and he's in the middle of like a dogfight.
Oh, it's insane. And
oh,
I guess it's mostly procedurally generated. It's player driven in terms of the story, I think, for the most part. It looks really neat. It looks like you know, it has elements of Minecraft to it, but I think it's just something very, very different than anything we've seen before. So I'm excited about that one too.
Yeah. And to bring it back to Nintendo, I didn't get to see a lot of it. I only saw a little bit, but they had a Smash Brothers tournament.
Yeah. So they're actually supporting e-gaming for once, which I think is, you know, somewhat related to Dota.
Right.
You know, they've been almost anti Smash Brothers tournaments in the past and kind of starting to turn that around a little bit. Did an invitational for the new Wii U and 3DS.
Yeah.
Smash Brothers, and it was fun. You know, it was, you know, probably much, pretty much on par with other esports events in terms of the production quality and everything. So,
good.
So needs some work, like many esports events. But it was good to see that they're kind of supporting that to a certain extent.
The only thing that I thought was weird about that is whenever the players were done, they had to hand their controllers to a dude. Did you see anything weird about the dude they handed their controllers to? Like, he would take them and like touch him, and like, it was weird, but he was like fondling controllers.
I assume that they're making sure that they work correctly, that they're not being tampered with, etc., etc.
I don't know, this guy had like a weird smile on his face and it really freaked me out, Ben.
That dude was the only reason that I trusted the thing was legit, Brian.
Okay, very good.
But no, it was a fun event. Got to see some of the new game, and I hopefully Nintendo continues to do that.
I'm considering buying a 3DS just for the new Smash
Bros. I know, you said that. Yeah, you've been holding off forever.
I know. All right, Ben, let's talk about Dota.
Let's do that.
Let's talk about the old dotes. Okay, so in the news this week, Ben, did you watch any of the Summit, the tournament that the guys at Beyond the Summit threw?
I followed it through yours and Jared's conversations about it. So I didn't get to watch any of the games myself, but I know a little bit about what happened with the event.
Yeah, so spoiler alert, Evil Geniuses and Team DK were in the finals, and Evil Geniuses won.
Wow.
They totally upset Team DK.
And that's great, yeah. That's,
yeah. And
that's without Fear, right? Because Fear is still out.
Right, Fear is out, and Mason is playing carry, which... Wow. That's kind of what they've been operating as for the past couple months anyway.
Yeah, I think Fear is supposed to be out for a while. Jared and I both like to root for Fear just because he's a little bit older.
He's
kind of the old man of Dota.
Yeah.
And Jared and I, being a little bit older, are excited about seeing people who are old successfully playing Dota.
Yeah, so the way it's working is for him at TI4, he's injured. His arm injury is keeping him from playing.
Okay.
So at the Summit, I'm not sure how it'll work at TI4, but at the Summit, Fear was coaching. So he actually sat in the room, and he's not allowed to talk during the matches. And I don't know if that counts as the draft. I would assume not the draft. But he takes notes, and in between matches, he kind of helps the players break down what happened, come up with strategies, you know, just like any other coach would do.
Right.
So that's actually really exciting.
That is. I'm excited to see them, you know, continuing to be successful. Excited to see Fear still involved.
Yeah.
Would love to see the guy play again. And I think probably with, you know, just a matter of time until he does. But always nice to see, because they're North American team, correct?
Yeah.
So it's nice to see a North American team, you know, have some success.
And at the Summit, they did do an interview with the coach for Team DK. And I was really impressed with the interview. It was very insightful.
I love DK.
They talked, they were casual, but also very serious and professional. And they just talked about the merits of a coach and, you know, just those sorts of things. And I think having a coach on EG will only benefit them.
Yeah, I think that's something that I think is still in its infancy in a lot of ways. But
yeah.
I think, the coaching thing seems like it could really make a difference as esports continue to get, you know, get bigger.
I think it is really cool to kind of see the infancy of esports. And
oh, yeah. Getting on the ground level.
Watching
right?
to see it grow. And I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
I hate calling it esports, though.
What do you want to call it?
I wish it was just called like pro gaming or something. Or
we can call whatever we want.
Esports,
pro gaming.
Esports seems a little smelling your own farts, you know? Because I don't know, Ben. Do we call them e-athletes? I don't want to call them e-athletes. What's the definition of an athlete? Can we get into that?
No. Okay. I don't want to talk about that.
Okay.
Let me say this. I
highly respect and, you know, absolutely value players on teams, but do we call it an e-sport? I don't know. Whatever.
How about keyboard warriors?
Keyboard warriors, yeah. I don't know. Let's not dive down that tunnel, but I am interested in that conversation at some point, I think.
Yeah. I'm disinterested.
I'm okay with wherever we land. That's fine. That's fine.
I'm just giving you a hard time.
I know you are.
But no, in all seriousness, we were talking earlier about just the legitimacy of esports and legitimacy of what's going on with the international.
Yeah.
Which they're up to, I think, 9.4, 9.6 million.
I just
like
checked
that.
And it's 9.5.
9.5 million. So right in the middle there.
Yeah.
And my wife was watching the golf U.S. Open earlier today. The prize pool for the U.S. Open, which is one of four major golf tournaments that happen every year.
Yeah.
Golf obviously has a rich history, been around for a long time, taken very seriously. The prize pool for that event in total is only $8
million. Okay.
So we have actually surpassed the prize pool for the U.S. Open in
golf. We did it, guys. We did it.
Well done. We're legit.
And we also get to have Darude.
And we get to have Darude.
All the sandstorm
and voice taunts before game, I think, is the next one. Because I'm confident we're going to hit 10 million. Do you think they're going to add some more stretch goals after the 10 million mark?
I have no idea. I can't see them doing it.
Really?
Because they've already done it once.
I think they will.
You think they will?
I think they have to. Because I think, why not? Because it doesn't cost a lot to do those stretch goals. And they want to obviously, they want to push it to the limits. Let's see how high they can get that.
Yeah. Yeah, if they add more stretch goals, I might buy another pack of points.
I don't think you would be the only one. So I mean, I'm trying to hold off, but I imagine there's a lot of people who would buy into that. I imagine if they don't add more stretch goals, I think that they're probably going to top out under 11 million, probably about 10.5.
Yeah.
If they add more stretch goals, I think they could really push it to 13, 14 million.
Gosh.
Which is insane.
That's crazy. Even if there aren't any, let's say the prize pool ends at 9.5 million.
Right.
That's crazy.
It's
something that I feel like the rest of the world needs to pay attention to.
Oh, yeah.
Any doubts about whether esports are legitimate or stupid or even here to stay, you know, that sort of thing.
Sure.
I think the answer is yes.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think without a doubt.
Yeah. So that is fascinating, Ben.
It's incredibly fascinating.
And why was your wife watching golf?
She likes to watch golf. I don't know.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
So, Ben, have you had any experience with the player cards? Those have been cropping up lately.
Yeah, those are starting to drop. I think they drop with the Hero Challenge. I think they drop randomly as well. And so then you can, I think it's called apply them to your compendium.
Wait, they drop with the Hero Challenge?
Yeah, yeah. Did you not know that? You get compendium points and you get like a pack of cards every time you win with your daily Hero Challenge.
Well, you have to remember, I've been out of commission for about the last week.
You've been playing the game of Nature.
Yes. Nature.
Nature, yeah.
Well, that's really cool. And they also drop randomly. And you get them as a pack? So how many do you get in a pack?
I have no idea, but it's a lot. I would say more than five.
I remember last year they dropped one at a time.
Right. It's much more generous than that. There are additional, I think, compendium points you can get if you get a complete set of players. And
so that
is some more.
So what are we doing with the cards then?
We're applying them to our compendium, okay. Which you're collecting them. They're trading cards.
So once you get a certain number, you get additional points for your compendium to level
up. Once you get, I think, a full team, I think if you get all of them, you get additional points as well. And then they did add some more predicting things that are going to be in the game for the international as well. So there's ways to earn more points that way, too.
Okay.
So, kind of as we thought would happen, there's going to be other ways to continue to earn compendium points.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, that I really like the idea of that. I don't really get into like the Steam trading cards. You know how those drop?
Right.
But for whatever reason, something about this I really like. I kind of like the collectibles aspect of it.
I think there's that. And I think also as somebody who follows the keyboard gladiator event that this is.
I believe you said keyboard warrior.
Whatever you want to call it, Brian. This is you who wants to name it something differently. So, but anyways.
Ben, people are going to be emailing me and sending me all this hate mail about how I'm a detractor and
I don't know
it's
why
all your fault.
Well, I just don't know why you can't just support esports. This is a thing. It's bigger than golf.
I do support esports, and the name isn't as big of a deal as what
I'm
making it out to
be. Thank you for apologizing. Apology accepted, Brian. Anyways, I do think...
Can we get Jared back on this show, please?
I think as somebody who follows Dota, I think you're just excited to see those players. It is fun to get to kind of know the players a little bit and feel like you're kind of a part of the event.
Oh, yeah.
So it is. It's a good thing.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that's really about all that we have as far as news goes this week, Ben.
Well, the other news is about Jared. So Jared has birthed a child.
Jared has spawned.
Yeah, he has spawned a baby. I got to see the baby today. The baby is healthy.
Yes.
The baby is not Ginger that we can tell, so not at this point.
It's actually a little shocking. The baby's slightly Asian looking.
I don't think I agree with that.
And Jared is not Asian, and his wife is not Asian. So, look, I don't want to start any rumors or anything here, Ben, but something's up.
Anyways, the baby's not... The baby's not a ginger, but the baby's really cute. The baby's doing well.
Well, babies look kind of alien-like the first couple months, so I think that plays into it a little.
Jared has a cute baby, but I think in general, babies are not necessarily cute.
It takes a little bit.
Yeah, it does. They grow into it, so.
But yeah, Jared and his family are healthy. The baby was born 9 pounds and I believe 8 ounces.
It's a big baby. You would not think this baby has just been born.
It's a big freaking baby. That's like the size, that's like 5 Chipotle burritos.
Yeah, the baby is, it's actually bigger than my dog already.
Really?
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
And Ben, we were talking about it earlier. We already have an idea for Jared's next Halloween costume.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we did.
They could do a little alchemist cosplay. Right.
I love it. Yeah. I think that's great.
Jared's large. The baby's small.
It would work.
Perfect.
Yeah, Jared could ride the baby, and it would be great.
Begin her Dota 2 indoctrination.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's great. And Jared, in all seriousness, we are happy and thankful for your newborn baby. And
congrats, buddy. Yeah,
congrats. We couldn't be more excited for you. All right, Ben, let's get into the hero of the week.
Let's do it.
The hero of the week is Elder Titan.
Elder Titan.
Which is one of your most played heroes, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know. Is he more than Meepo, even?
Definitely more than Meepo.
Okay.
This is a hero that I think you're actually pretty good at, and
I really enjoy Elder Titan.
Was this a part of your compendium challenge?
So I think this thing must be rigged. I actually have done 4 of the daily hero challenges.
Okay.
2 of them have been Elder Titan, who I play quite often.
Really?
Yeah, it was really bizarre.
So good for you.
Yeah.
Racking up those player cards.
So I got those wins pretty quick. But yeah, I really enjoy what Elder Titan brings to the table.
Okay.
Obviously he's not gonna be your number one in terms of your farm or your gold. Or probably not even on your kill count, but I think he just brings a lot to a team fight.
Yeah,
and a lot of versatility there.
Sure, let's talk about how he kind of fits into your draft. So let's start with, where do you lane him? Where are you expecting him to go during the laning phase?
I almost exclusively run him in the off lane. I know you can run him mid as well, but I really like what he brings to the off lane. His spirit form allows him to do a little bit of farming and harassing in the off lane, and without actually being vulnerable while you're doing that.
Yeah.
He does have a pretty good health pool and ends up getting relatively tanky. He's rather durable in terms of a hero, and has some scouting ability with that spirit form as well. So I think early game he's pretty safe in terms of survivability.
Yeah.
I mean, as safe as somebody in the offlane can get.
Because those are the heroes that you generally want to have in the offlane. Do you run him solo offlane if you can?
It just depends on what we're planning to do. But yeah, often we'll do, if we have a jungler, we don't usually do tri-lane when we're playing. But if we do a tri-lane, he can survive again. He can get enough farm and enough levels there to make it.
Yeah, because correct me if I'm wrong, Ben, but he's a hero that doesn't necessarily need a ton of farm. You just want to mostly get experience on him. And if you can get some farm on him, that's just kind of like icing on the cake.
No, I think you're right. I mean, his spirit form is going to be useful regardless. He's got a... And you almost killed yourself with your water bottle.
I just hit my funny bone on my desk.
For those who are not watching this, because we don't provide it in a watchable form, Brian basically took his water bottle, hit himself in the elbow, and then hit himself in the nose with it. So we've got that going on.
Yeah.
Anyways.
But yeah, you want to put him in the off lane because he just needs some XP.
He gets those levels. He gets, Natural Order has a debuff to armor, which is great for team fights. His ultimate ability takes 35% of the health, of max HP off of one of the heroes that are there. Again, Astral Spirit can scout out. It can set up for a stun. He's just got a lot to offer.
Okay.
And if you can get close enough to hit somebody, you tend to hit like a truck.
Yeah. Okay, that's great. And you did kind of mention you could go mid, and I've only seen that in pro matches, specifically Bulba from Team Liquid. So I wouldn't necessarily recommend going mid with him unless
you know
what
either.
You're doing.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. I think, again... it's probably harder to get the farm there, but you can run in with a bottle. You can get those levels a little quicker, mid, that makes them a little bit easier to get out there and gank and that kind of thing. But again, I really like him in the offlane. I think that's probably your best option.
Cool. Okay, well, I'm going to talk us through the spells a little bit here, Ben, and you can kind of chime in with some of the strategies with it. So we'll start with his Q, which is Echo Stomp. Elver Titan and his Astral Spirit both stomp the ground, damaging and knocking nearby enemy units unconscious around their locations. The Elder Titan Stomp deals physical damage, while the Spirit Stomp deals magical damage. Unconscious enemies will wake if they take damage. This costs 100 mana, cooldown's 15, and the sleep duration is 2, 3, 4, and 5 seconds, depending on the level, and the stomp damage is 80, 90, 100, and 110, which I believe since... And you kind of have to play this off with the Astral Spirit, which is his W, correct?
Correct, yeah. You can... I mean, what happens is both the Spirit and him both do the stun. So you've got actually two different stun locations with that.
And two instances of damage.
And two instances of damage. So it's really nice to be able to set up some initiation essentially with that.
Okay.
You can do it without being in a vulnerable situation with your Astral Spirit.
Yeah.
It does, you kind of telegraph the move a little bit, so the enemy team can definitely get out of it.
Yeah.
But again, since you have two options there, two locations where that's going off, you can set it up.
Okay. Well, since we're talking about it, I will move on to his W, which is Astral Spirit. Elder Titan sends forth his Astral Spirit, damaging any units it passes through. When the Spirit rejoins the Titan, it grants bonus damage and movement speed for each unit it damaged. The Astral Spirit possesses the Echo Stomp, Return Spirit, and Natural Order abilities.
So, basically that can be used for a lot of things. You can use it to scout. You can use it to chase heroes that are almost dead. You could use it to farm, so you can get some last hits with it that way. Use it to scout Roshan, and then when you draw it back to you, you've essentially provided a buff to Elder Titan, which lets him hit a little bit harder.
Okay. And is that... It says it gives a bonus to damage and movement speed for each unit it damaged. So, like, if I damage somebody that I'm laning against and I return the spirit to me, I'm giving that person a bonus? Is that right?
No. So you can run that spirit. That spirit has independent movement speed or movement control.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can move it. It's not vulnerable, though, so you can't kill it if you're the enemy team. It's not like a normal illusion. So as you pass it through creeps, as you pass it through heroes, and then you bring...
Allied heroes?
No, enemies. You use this to damage enemies.
Yeah.
So as you damage those enemies, you pull it back, and there's a counter that goes along with how many enemies you've damaged, and that impacts the buff that Elder Titan gets.
Oh, okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay, that makes a lot more sense. I was just reading that. The way that's worded is really weird.
Yeah, no, you're fine.
Okay. So yeah,
there's a different bonus based on whether it was heroes or creeps.
And the damage, depending on what level it is 60, 100, 140, or 180, which that's pretty good.
It's not bad considering you have zero risk really involved with sending that out there.
And is that somewhat spammable?
No, he does have mana issues. So, okay. I mean, again, it's a 110 mana cost, so you can spam it a little bit. But you can't go overboard with it. You're going to run out of mana before you know it.
So. Sure. And it says here the bonus speed for creeps is 1%. And I assume that's stacking. Well, yeah, of course that's stacking. The bonus speed for heroes is 5%. And then the bonus damage for creeps is 3, 6, 9, and 12. And for heroes, it's 10, 20, 30, and 40.
Correct.
That's pretty good.
It is. It's really nice. Again, he can
get... And it lasts 8 seconds.
Right. So when he gets that buff... So basically, use that to kind of initiate a little bit.
Sure.
If you can get the stun off, great. And then you can bring that back to him, and he hits really hard. So you can either do that or move to your Earth Splitter move to really deal a lot of damage.
Okay. All right, let's talk about his E, which is actually a passive. It's called Natural Order. Reduces all elements to their basic levels, removing base armor and magic resistance from nearby enemy units. And this is a base armor reduction of 25, 50, 75, or 100% at max level, and a base resist reduction of 8, 16, 25, and 33. So this isn't it's what you start with. It's your starting armor. So everyone's got base armor.
Right, and what this is doing essentially is saying, hey, we're going to make you easier to kill. Yeah. So if you get close to Elder Titan, you're easier. It's going to be easier for you to die.
Yeah.
So it creates some risk there.
Yeah, I really like Natural Order.
I love it. Yeah.
I kind of think it's easy to downplay how good this spell is, I think.
Oh, great. Yeah, it's great. And it's passive. Again, passive abilities are really nice, especially for our skill level, because it means you don't have to do anything.
That's right. I love Viper.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, and his ultimate is called Earth Splitter, sends forth a jagged crack in front of Elder Titan. After 3 seconds, the crack implodes, slowing movement while dealing damage to each enemy based on their maximum life. So that is 35% max HP as damage. So that's just like flat 35%.
This just hurts people. Yeah. Yeah, if people stand, and again, this is another move, and the only problem really with Elder Titan is his moves are pretty easy to dodge. But if you have a team that really gels with him, you can stun lock people.
Yeah.
And if you get people trapped and you send down that Earth Splitter, you're taking a good chunk of damage. And
yeah.
It has a really juicy animation to it when it goes off.
It's great. So cool. Yeah, it makes a big explosion and it's very loud.
You see people just die.
Yeah,
it's great.
It's great. Yeah. I've seen you get like triple or quad kills.
I definitely have had a quad. I don't know if I've ever had a five kill.
Yeah, good lord.
From that. Yeah. Yeah.
It's pretty wild. And the slow on it at maximum speed is 50% slow for 5 seconds. That's nice.
Right.
So you can really do you initiate with this or
no,
what do you do
this
with
is this is in kind of you want to already have started the team fight.
Okay.
Cuz you know again if you get that Elder Titan stun off,
yeah.
And they're stunned there, then you already have them set up for it, for example.
Right.
Or if somebody else got, you know, maybe a Ravage off or, you know, Lich's Ultimate off, something like that, you can really do some damage at that point. So again, it's one of those abilities where you'd like to have people kind of grouped up so you get a bunch of people at once. Yeah. But no, I think because of the fact that it's telegraphed on the ground, you wouldn't want to initiate with that. You know, they're just going to get out of the way. They need to be distracted or stunned.
So you can put this thing on the ground. Let's say you have a Darkseer on your team. You can start this thing and then Darkseer vacuums.
Oh, suck them right in. Yep.
Boom. Everyone blows up. Wombo combo, baby.
Yep. You got anything like that would be great.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's cool. And yeah, I felt like I was going to say something else, but I don't even remember. And that's okay. But yeah, let's talk items, Ben.
Yeah, so in terms of items, I tend to go phase boots on him. I like to have the extra mobility with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then tend to go magic wand. Go into maybe an Urn of Shadows or a mech, depending on what else is going on with the team there. And then, yeah, really, that's, you know, early on, you might want to get a stout shield since you're off lane. And drums. Drums tend to be kind of a go-to item, depending on what I'm hoping to accomplish that game.
Yeah, I really love Drum of Endurance. I really like to build it after I upgrade my boots.
Right.
Or even in some cases, I'll buy that thing before I upgrade my boots.
Yeah, Drum is pretty nice. It offers some really good ability there.
Yeah. Okay, so extension items. So these are kind of after you buy some of those core items.
Right, so you might want to get an Assault Curious, maybe a Heart perhaps might be useful for you. Even maybe a Shiva's Guard.
Yeah.
Again, most of the games I've played, he doesn't get tons of farm, so he tends not to get into those extension items very often. But you just, again, you could go a BKB depending on what the other team has, or maybe a Pipe of Insight might be even better than a BKB.
I love that item.
Yeah, I really like that too. So again, we wouldn't necessarily call him a support.
Yeah.
But he's a core, and he tends to kind of, you know, he brings a lot to the team, and you want to just kind of play off of that when you're doing your item build as well.
He's there to tank, I think, mostly, right?
Yeah, he's tanky, pretty tanky.
And
initiate, yeah.
Yeah, he just brings some stuns, some decent damage, good scouting information with the spirit.
Oh, it's great.
You scout Roshan with that thing all the time, and it's great.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I really like Elder Titan. How do you feel it is to play him? Is he a difficult hero to play and pick up?
He's probably not an easy one to just pick up and learn. I think, you know, the initial few games that I played him, I was really confused by his astral spirit. I'm like, mm-hmm. you know, how do I move this guy around? What do I do with him?
Let's talk about that.
Well, because
how do you move the spirit around?
Well, you move him just like you would move an illusion. So you can, you know, bind him to a different key and move him around like another unit. The main difference there is he can't make contact with anything. He is a spirit. He cannot last hit directly
okay.
by hitting something. He just does damage by, through moving through units. So
right.
you can last hit by essentially either launching the Astral Spirit into some low life creeps
okay.
or through walking through. And again, that damage is only done through the initial walkthrough. So okay. once you hit something, that's the hit you get with the Astral Spirit until you relaunch the Astral Spirit.
Sure.
So again, it's great for scouting. I like to use it maybe to even send into a jungle before our team goes in to kind of see what we're getting into.
Yeah.
Use it to scout Roche. All those different types of things that you can do with it. So it's a really great asset to Elder Titan. But again, it's not a unit where you can go and you can punch somebody. It just has some initial kind of spirit damage, if you will.
Well, he doesn't really punch people. He's got that briefcase.
Well, his Astral Spirit doesn't do anything other than walk.
Or the staple
game. The Astral Spirit just walks. It can't damage a tower. It just walks.
I think he's got like a weird walk animation too. He walks like he has to poop.
He walks like he has to poop and he hits like he has a briefcase. It's great.
Perfect. That's everything you're looking for in a hero.
Right.
Okay, Ben. So do you recommend Elder Titan?
I do with some hesitation. I recommend him, but just realize that you're going to have to put some time in before you have some success with him.
Sure. Okay. I think that's fair. And I really also feel like Elder Titan fits into a lot of drafts pretty easily.
He does. Yeah.
Because he's got the natural order for the armor debuff. And I mean, if you pair that with somebody like a Shadow Fiend who already has another armor debuff, Shadow Fiend already hits hard. He's going to be hitting even harder.
Well, I think that's the
with
thing.
The natural order.
When would you not want to have magic and armor resist debuff?
Exactly.
Right. So you're always going to want that. His build order is rather flexible. So if you need a pipe, if you need a mech, if you need to do something like that, you can. You know, if you need to buy some wards, you're not really nerfing yourself that much by doing that. So I think he's really versatile.
Yeah. Cool.
So yeah, that's the Hero of the Week segment. So Brian.
Ben,
I wanted to really push for another segment this week. So yes. I've been hearing from some of our fans, in particular, a gentleman named Cheeks.
Cheeks a flappin,
listener of the show, regular of the show, plays some matches with us on community.
I would even say Cheeks a flappin is a friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
He's been upgraded to friend of the show.
Wow. Congrats, Cheeks. Congrats. And I'm sorry. But anyways, Cheeks has been requesting for weeks that we do an item of the week segment.
Yes. And I am happy to announce that this is the first episode that we are going to feature item of the week. And it just goes to show that if you people complain and whine enough, we'll give you what you want.
Yeah.
We'll make it happen. So, Ben, the item of the week, the first item of the week.
Do you want me to announce it? Or are you going to announce it? Who's going to do this?
Is Healing Salve.
The Healing Salve. It's actually Healing Salve.
Yes. We looked up how to say it the right way, and it's Healing Salve.
So, Cheeks, you've already learned something.
Yes. Healing Salve.
Healing Salve.
Salve.
So,
let's talk about this, Ben.
That's a health potion.
That's your standard health potion. Usually you buy this at the beginning of the game, especially during the laning phase. I, on a lot of heroes, a standard starting item build that I go with is Tangos and a Healing Salve. If I'm playing like a carry, you go for the Tangos and the Healing Salve.
It's just a health potion, Brian.
It is a health potion, Ben, but it's also a health potion.
It's a salve.
Okay, so let's talk about this. It's 115 gold, and on use, it regenerates HP on the targeted unit over time. If the unit is attacked, the effect is lost. So it lasts 10 seconds, and it restores 400 health, which is 40 HP per second. So there's your health potion, Ben.
It's a health potion.
So usually, like I said, you buy Tangos and you buy a Healing Salve. Do you have a specific time that you use a Healing Salve versus Tangos, Ben?
When you need health, because it's a health potion.
You do? Right, Ben. But come on. Okay, Ben, let's go. Serious time here. Try hard time.
I tend to buy one early game.
Yeah.
I think here's the tips with the health potion. I think you can use it on somebody else. Maybe not everybody knows that.
Yes.
So if your laning buddy is low on health, you can use a health potion on him.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to use a health potion when you're in the middle of a fight, because if you get hit, And we decided, what, even if they miss the hit, so even if they're going uphill and they miss the hit.
Yeah, we just read that if the attack does zero damage.
So essentially, if you're hit or if you're in a battle, the health potion stops healing you.
Correct.
So you don't really want to use it then. But I think, you know, I'll even do one somewhere in the middle of the laning phase sometimes. Yeah. If you're low on health, if the courier is free and maybe you want to ship something else to you too, right, or nobody else has immediate use for the courier,
yeah,
can bring that to you to help you out. So again, 400 health is not a whole lot later in the game, so it's definitely not a mid-late game item.
Yeah.
But it is something you can buy. You also don't want to do it on every hero. So I think it's one of those things you might want to spend 115 gold on something else.
Actually, I really think that regen is... Not buying enough regen is a very common mistake, I think.
Right. That's true.
Somebody will just buy either one pack of tangos or one healing salve, and if you see that, like... If you're laning, click on the people you're laning against. If they have little to no regen, that's your cue. You can really harass them out of lane very easily, and they'll have to go back to the fountain to regenerate, and they will miss out on XP and miss out on last hits and all that. And kind of like what Ben said earlier, with healing salves, you want to use them when you're low, obviously.
Right.
But tangos...
Not rocket science.
Right. Tangos you use when you're... somewhat when you're not very low on health. Use them when you have maybe like 70% of your health left. Whereas with a healing salve, you want to use that when you're down to like 15 or 20.
Right.
Because it regenerates much quicker.
Right.
Than
it's fast regen. And so it's really that tricky tension between, hey, I can't use this in the middle of a battle, but I need to use this as soon as I'm safe so I can stay in the lane a little bit longer and, and fight.
Yeah. And kind of like what Ben was talking about earlier, I wish I had a nickel for every time I've denied somebody using a healing salve in the middle of a fight. Because it's so obvious. Those like rings start showing up around them.
Yeah, hit those people.
You just right-click them.
Just hit them.
Yep. And there's 115 gold down the drain.
You got it.
So, folks, PSA, don't use your healing salves right at the creep line. Okay, so is there anything else to talk about with healing salves, Ben?
No, it's a health potion, Brian.
Okay. Health potion, right. That's about what that does.
So, Cheeks, that was probably very helpful.
I hope you're satisfied, people.
Thanks, Cheeks.
Okay, Ben, let's move on to Noobs Ask Noobs.
Noobs Ask Noobs.
The segment where we take questions from our subreddit, reddit.com/r/WeLikeDota.
We have one of those.
We do.
Wow.
And we take questions, and I can't necessarily guarantee the accuracy of these questions or the...
Well, I would assume that the questions being asked are the questions that are intended to be asked. Is that correct?
I can't verify the integrity of the answers.
Correct.
I guess is what I'm trying to say.
We were probably wrong
stumbling over my words there.
Yeah, we were probably wrong about the health potion stuff that we said.
Okay, so this question comes from Louis or Louise, 1972. I'm not sure exactly how to say his name, but we'll go with that. Okay, he says, I don't remember the guys talking about this before. Maybe they haven't, I just don't remember it. But my biggest pet peeve in pub games are people in my team not knowing how to last hit. If I'm playing support and I see my carry auto-attacking creeps, and it's always Sniper doing this. Every single time, it's Sniper doing this.
Strategy behind that.
Then I tell myself that this guy sucks and won't carry the team anyway, so I may as well last hit his creeps. I think it would be great if you guys can talk about how important it is, how to train last hitting in lane and under towers, how to control creep waves, animation canceling, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I think the big thing we can do as a service is we want to make sure that our listeners are not amongst the carries that do not last hit.
Correct.
Right? So I think the big part of the answer there was in the question, which is, do not auto attack, right? You do not just auto attack, whether you're a support or a carry.
Correct.
The goal is to hit the creeps when they're low on health, when they need a health potion.
Correct. Yeah. Creeps cannot use health potions, by the way.
They should be able to. That's a whole other issue.
Right. But yeah, if you're just continually right-clicking, auto-attacking the creeps, what that is going to do is it's going to push the lane directly into your tower. Correct.
The opponent's tower.
Let's see. Right. Yes. I'm sorry.
Right.
Into the opponent. I shouldn't even be answering this question, Ben.
Well, essentially, you know, there's the neutral zone And then there's the enemy side and your side.
Correct.
If you're auto-attacking, you're pushing your creeps into the enemy's side.
Correct.
Which puts you in a very bad position to get ganked, to right. get hit by tower hits, all those sort of things. So the hope is to be close to, not on top of necessarily, but close to your own tower.
Correct.
So that you are safe.
Yeah, and the way that Ben kind of explained that is if you want to push the enemy tower, and sometimes you want to do this. This is a little bit of legitimate
strategy.
That's
the goal of the game. At the you know at the end of the game, you want to push and destroy all the towers.
Right. But yeah, if you last hit and continue to auto attack the enemy creeps, they will go directly into their tower. And if you want to pull the lane back towards your tower, and sometimes you might want to do this. But it does make it quite a bit harder to last hit enemy creeps under your tower. But what you do is you deny your creeps once they come under 50% health because you cannot start to deny them above that.
Right. So, yeah, basically you want to prevent your other the other team from hitting your creeps. But let's forget about denying. That's kind of a whole other thing.
Sure.
So, I mean, the whole goal is the carry is a carry because they need more gold, right? Right. They need the gold to be successful. So. Right. The support, even if the carry's struggling, should not be taking those last hits.
Yeah.
Even
somebody who's auto-attacking the creeps, as annoying as that is...
They're going to get those.
Yeah.
Right? They're going to get some last hits as well.
They're still getting golden XP. And if I see that happening, I try to friendly let the carry know that that is not something you necessarily want to be doing and let them know why.
I've never seen you address it with such sensitivity. This is when you rage.
I do play solo games sometimes.
That's true. Okay, fair enough. But anyway, but you do want to bring it to their attention. Say, hey, you know, this is we're pushing the lane.
I think a lot of people just don't know.
They may not because they're just thinking, I got to kill the other creeps. They're bad guys. Let's kill the bad guys. Yeah. But there is more to it than that.
I try to not be the cancer that is the Dota 2 community sometimes at large.
Right. Right.
So I try to address it in a friendly way and inform them that it's not something they want to be doing. But if they're a jerk to you, you know, I give you full permission to just go off on
it. And again, I understand the listener's question to a certain extent. Yes, it's better for you to get the gold than nobody to get the gold.
Correct.
But it tends to be that auto-attacking's not necessarily preventing the gold intake. It's just pushing that tower or pushing the creeps closer to the enemy tower, which is a whole other issue. So as long as your carry is getting the gold, that's good.
Yeah.
You've got another issue there. So,
and as a support, what you can be doing is go and stack the easy camp in your lane.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
You can pull that into your lane
to
help you get some gold and some XP.
And to keep that lane from moving up.
Right.
That's the other thing. So there's some things as a support that you can do other than just steal the last hits.
Yeah.
So, and that's going to give you some farm and experience as well by doing that.
So what you do when you pull a camp, it's when you auto attack the easy camp that's in your lane, which is generally, it's like the one that's right next to the lane. So at 53 seconds to the, you know, if it's like one minute and 53 seconds.
And you can give or take a little bit on that, but that's the ideal time.
Yeah. You want to be attacking that camp and you just walk down to your creep lane and it'll pull those neutral creeps into your creeps and your creeps will start to whack away at the neutral creeps and you can get the last hits that way. And it will also deny your creeps, so it will, you know, it'll push the lane kind of into your tower a little bit as well.
You're basically you're pulling the lane back where you want it. You're preventing the other team from getting gold, and you're essentially using your creeps to kind of jungle a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's really nice. That's the way to go.
So as a support, that's what you should be doing when those kind of circumstances arise. So again, tell them about the issue.
Yeah, and in all fairness, that's something that I'm trying to get better at.
Yeah, you tend to be also among the people who rage and steal the last hits as a support.
I do not, Ben. I do not do this. You don't. You and I don't even lane together.
We never lane. I have no idea what you do. Anyways, but no, again, you know, if they're not last hitting, that's a whole other issue. And maybe you should take the last hits at that point if they don't respond to your constructive criticism.
Yeah.
So the other thing we wanted to make sure that people knew of is there's tools to get better.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, practice is key. All of the heroes have different attack animations. They all have, you know, some of them are ranged, some are melee. That works a little differently.
Yeah.
So you really need to get practice in understanding those animations, understanding when it is that you right click on a enemy creep to kill them and get the gold. And so you can do that through playing with bots. There's actually a last hit training tool or practice mode that's in the game now.
Yeah, it's in the training menu under the play button.
Under the play button. So I actually thought it was limited to so many heroes, but I guess everybody's actually in that mode.
Yeah,
you can go in there and practice.
That's really nice. So it'll give you stats of how many last hits you get. It'll tell you if you're too early, too late. You can practice. Oh, excuse me. Gosh, you can practice in any lane.
And, I don't know what just happened.
I just kind of burped a little bit.
Oh, boy.
And yeah, so that's really good. I would look into that. And let's see, what else, Ben?
No, I think that's the key is just in, just do a lot of it. That's the whole thing. And unfair bots deny a lot. So I know there's some mixed opinions on whether that's a good strategy or not, but I like doing that.
Yeah.
Because I like, they're basically perfect.
Not basically, so, they are. They literally are perfect.
So I like having to try to be perfect myself to get last hits. Yeah. So, and I'm not good at lasting. I need to get into that practice mode and do that, especially since I usually play carry for our team. But
it's something that's very difficult in the early game. You know,
it gets easier because you do more damage. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So just keep working at it and you guys will get it. And, oh, something else that was brought up is animation canceling. What is that, Ben?
Well, you can push the S key. And that cancels your current animation. So my understanding is you can do that after you've launched a projectile to kind of set yourself up for the next swing of your wand or whatever it is that you might have. In addition to that, you can also move to start repositioning yourself for the next hit. So again, it's a way to cancel auto attacking. It's just a way to essentially manipulate the animation system a little bit to make sure that last hitting is a little easier for you.
Yeah, the way that I kind of explain it is, let's say I'm playing Crystal Maiden. I right click to attack a creep. You see her wind up, and then the second that she throws that little bolt from her wand, right after that, you press S to stop because there's a whole part of her animation that doesn't.
She has a follow through.
Yeah, and it doesn't do anything. It doesn't benefit you anything. So, and this is admittedly a like pro level
stuff. This is way beyond our skill level. Yeah.
Do not worry about this until you're at like 5K MMR or something crazy like that. And I mean, it's kind of just getting that small little bit of a competitive edge out of your play. And I would say don't worry about it until you're on stage at TI4. Maybe not even that much. You need to know how to do it to get to TI4.
I would say the key is practicing last hits first. So instead you can until you can do that consistently and not miss any creeps in a creep wave, I wouldn't worry about the animation canceling. But if you want to start great, fantastic habits right off the bat, go for it, right?
Yep. So Ben, you're telling people to try hard.
I don't care what they do.
Okay. Wow. Okay. All right, but anyway, thanks for those questions. You can submit more at our subreddit, which is reddit.com/r/WeLikeDota. Big thanks to Lewis1972. I'm sorry if I got your name wrong for the question. Okay, Ben, let's talk about the community a little bit.
It's been fun. You've been playing Nature, but I've been playing a lot of games with the community. They've all been really, really nice.
Yeah.
Really fun games. We've won some, we've lost some.
Yeah, so we have community night, which is Fridays at 7:30. We all gather together to play some in-house matches together.
Or matchmaking, depending on who's on.
Depending on what the numbers are, yeah. But we're also putting the feelers out for starting a Wednesday night community night, which would be at 9 p.m. So if you're around for that, I'll be online. Feel free to join us, and we'll have a jolly good old time. And we also have our Mumble server. Geraldo NVU bought a Mumble server for us. And I think, Geraldo, if you're listening, if you want to just put up a thread about info for the Mumble server, or you know what? I might actually just put it in the sub.
One on the Reddit.
There is.
Yeah.
Is it?
Can you pin something? I don't know.
I'm going to put it in the sidebar.
Do that. Put it in the sidebar. Whatever that means.
But yeah, big thanks to Geraldo for the Mumble server. P-Frog is looking for your match clips to create a somewhat regular highlight reel. So I think this is awesome. If you have a cool match and you had a good play, you know, when you were playing with other We Like Dota folks or you just had a really good match, let him know about that. You can find that on the subreddit and he's going to make a sweet highlight clip. They don't need to be pro level or anything like that. Just cool moments that happen. So
That sounds fun.
Send them your way.
Sounds fun.
Also, Field Studies and Kyler are starting a new fantasy league. You can check the subreddit for details on that, because there were some people that missed out on the first fantasy league. So if you're into that whole thing, there's a new one starting up, so check that out. And Ben, this is
Brian.
This is something we've been just kind of talking about and dreaming about over the past couple of weeks. And folks, this is like pre-alpha, okay? Pre-alpha talks.
Well, this is
here.
Deciding if we have an alpha, right? We're just right. trying to figure yeah. out if we should even have an alpha.
So Ben and Jared and I have been talking about wanting to do a We Like Dota league. And I think what we're really looking for is
like a super casual league.
Super casual league.
Like if you've played 10 games, it's okay.
Right, exactly. So I don't know. So we're just kind of gauging interest if this is something that people are interested in. So I'm going to make a thread on the subreddit. And if you're interested in any capacity, just let us know. And yeah, the intention behind it is just to have an environment to have casual competitive play, I guess.
Well, I don't even know if it's about the competitive play as much as it is finding people to play with, getting yeah. that experience of being on a team, getting better together,
drafting
all those kind of those things that as normal casual players yeah. a lot of people miss out on.
Yeah, you're just not gonna get that from solo queuing all pick,
right? So you know, it gives you a group of people to play with, will give you a you know, something to strive for in terms of getting better.
Yeah.
And again,
we would cast all the matches.
We would cast some of the matches.
I'll cast all
Brian
the matches.
Will cast all the matches. Great. I didn't know you were gonna do that.
Oh,
that's
yeah
fantastic.
Heck yeah, I'll put those up on the YouTube.
So,
and
so again, it gives you
kind of a taste of the competitive.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's kind of like when you go to one of those booths at a baseball game and they let you pretend to announce a game.
Yeah,
we'll pretend that we're pro players.
Yeah,
so and we'll have fun, and Brian will cast the matches for us if we decide to do this. Again, yeah. we're pre-awful on this. We want to just kind of gauge interest, see if the community would be into doing that, forming some teams,
yeah,
playing some. Again, it would be a very casual thing, casual commitment. If you yeah. can't make it, that's fine. We'll just try to have, you know, stand-ins, other people there something. As stand-ins, yeah. and we'll figure out the structure later. But I think it could be a fun experience for a lot of people.
Yeah, for sure. So I don't know. I'll put a thread up on the subreddit, and you guys just let me know.
Yeah, hit us up there or Twitter, or even just, you know, if we're in the guild, logged in, go ahead and send us a message in Dota, something like that.
Sure. Yeah. And speaking of the guild, we do have one in game. We're up to like, what, 35 people now, Ben?
I think something
like
along
that.
Those lines. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's really exciting. And yeah.
Which is another great way to get people to play with.
Gosh. Yeah. So if you're looking for that, you can add me on Steam. We've got info for all that stuff on the subreddit, which I've mentioned, which is reddit.com/r/WeLikeDota. You can also follow the show on Twitter, which is twitter.com/WeLikeDota. You can follow me personally on Twitter, twitter.com/BYinger. Ben, where can we find you online?
I'm also on Twitter. I do not have a Twitter follower account this week, but I'm getting retweeted and messages from one Twitter follower or two.
Great.
Two Twitter followers. I have no idea. But anyways, I'm at Dota Yadneb.
Right.
DOTAYADNEB. On Twitter. So you can find me there, and I occasionally yeah. tweet something.
So also check out welikedota.com for links to the iTunes subscription page and the RSS subscription. Also check us out on YouTube, youtube.com/welikedota. Ben, I'm also looking on the floor. There's a webcam on the floor.
Oh boy.
So we're looking to get some video recorded stuff up soon.
We've had some people who want to see our faces as we podcast.
Yeah, God, we're ugly.
I don't know why yeah. they want to do that.
Yeah. So anyway, thanks for listening, guys, and we'll see y'all next week.
Are we supposed to be done? Do we say something? I don't know what we do.
I don't know what we do.
I don't know what's going on.
I don't know what to do with my hands.
stop hitting yourself with your water bottle.
Okay, good idea.
Yeah.